Hi, Jason.
Hello, Nicole.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Jason.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. I feel like we should just reintroduce ourselves because it's been a minute. And, oh, God, that's a seltzer.
That was not a beer. It is a Monday night.
It's a Monday night, which might be our new podcast night.
If only it was a beer, I'd be much happier.
This is the only night where our children don't have plans. So, therefore, it's the only night we can podcast, we think. We're not sure. Well, if you are coming back to us or you're listening to this and you just look on your podcast catcher and you say, oh my goodness, they have a new episode, then welcome back. And if we are new to you, then welcome. I'm Nicole. And this is the couple that scares together.
It's been about a year, I think.
I don't know if it's been a year.
It seems like it's been about 10 years.
It feels like that. So quick recap. If you have followed us, we started this about 2 years ago. That's when we started.
Where did we even stop the last time? I don't even recall.
Benny and Barney Hill. I knew that.
Oh, yeah.
We started this podcast right after the pandemic or during the pandemic. We were wanting to find a way to reconnect as a couple. It was really good for us because we have a lot of similar interests in the paranormal and kind of unsolved mysteries.
That's all we have, though, to be honest.
That's not true.
That's the only interest that's the same.
That's not true. But we have very sort of different interests even within that genre.
That's true. Very different.
It was really good to share with each other and kind of carve out some time for us that wasn't driven by kids or obligations or even hanging out with other people. Because Jason and I don't know if we've been out to dinner by ourselves.
Well, when was the last time? True. This past weekend we were out.
Not by ourselves.
Oh, you're talking like the
just
last time we were out on a date?
I think we had lunch.
Well, I mean,
for
it's
Valentine's
been a while,
Day.
But now we're getting our life back.
Yes. But we knew we missed this so very much. And even though things had changed and kind of taken us on this journey, this podcasting, we missed it desperately. We both did. So we're back and we're still married. We made it through the pandemic.
Barely.
I feel like if you made it as a couple through the pandemic, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, I think that if you ran into somebody, if I did after the pandemic and they were like, oh, we split up, I'm like, that's about right.
Like, oh my God, you look crazier than before.
Yeah, that's about right. And if people stayed together, I'm like, I'm so sorry for your loss.
No, they would think that you were crazy if you left me. Let's be real about it.
Well, miracles of miracles. We're still here. We have four children. They range from 13 to 3. Nobody sleeps through the night in our house. Life is busy.
Especially not Nicole.
I don't ever sleep through the night. And
not for that reason.
Because I don't sleep well. But we work together now, which is new. So Jason came. I'm a teacher, and he's a teacher. And he came to teach at my school in a different area of the building. But we eat lunch most days together.
It's lovely.
We didn't think it was going to be lovely, or I didn't.
You didn't think it would be lovely.
I didn't think so. I had a lot of trepidation. But it's been amazing, and I feel like we're better than ever. And this started as a way to reconnect, and we're back here again.
I mean, I'm doing wonderfully there, and they're very happy to have me.
Wow, and he's so humble.
And they think, oh my goodness, are you actually married to that woman?
No, that's what they do think. They
do
think.
Yes.
I don't care.
It's true.
I don't care. People compliment me on him, and I am disgusted most of the time. No, because they don't know the real all of it,
that
right? If you are listening to this, and you are thinking,
wait a second,
oh my goodness,
what? This is important to note. I have embarked on a new journey myself.
Are you going to talk about your beard?
I have grown a beard.
He's part werewolf.
I've grown a beard, and
we'll post a picture.
Life changing.
I hate beards, and I hate facial hairs.
Facial
hairs, plural. But, of course, in pure Jason fashion, he is now 10% sexier than he was before.
That makes me want to throw up. Never had a beard before.
Mm-hmm.
Decided this year, a buddy of mine was like, hey, you know, you should go for it. I didn't even think it was possible for me to grow a beard.
He's very concerned about his beard and just discussing it.
It's lovely now.
It's a nice beard, but now he's muscled and he has a beard, so humble. I get to say this because I'm married to him, but he looks good.
All right.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Let's go. But I am disgusted when people tell me that. So please don't write to me and tell me how good he looks. I don't care.
That's not true. That doesn't happen.
Oh my! If I had a nickel,
it's not the case. No one out here wants to hear this.
If I had a nickel for every time somebody said something complimentary about you to me, I'd be a rich woman.
Oh, please.
Yeah. But I will say this. If you are listening to this and you think, oh my goodness, I wish we had a marriage like this, or at least my husband did this.
Get on a podcast.
No. Pick something that you two might like to have a comment. It might be a podcast. It might not. But we are far from perfect, and we make a lot of mistakes, and we're stumbling through. But we're back.
My wife is perfect. I'm not.
We're recommitted to sharing our spooky tales with our listeners. And tonight, I have a new spooky tale to share that I think you're going to love, Jason, because I am convinced that you know nothing about the subject.
It's like a lot of things.
Okay, but this, usually I have something and you go, oh yeah, I know about that
monster. I've heard of this, so that rings a bell.
Right, that asylum.
I've read about that.
So tonight we have a tale about an amateur pilot, and I'm going to accent the word amateur, who went missing. So, without further ado, away we go.
Away we go.
So, tonight we have a tale.
Wait a second.
What?
I have to interrupt.
Ugh.
So, just a few moments ago, we paused the taping here, the podcast. And I said, hey, we have to do something about our new music.
First of all, it wasn't that eloquent at all. You said, are we going to do new music? And I said, all right, well, that's what do we I got said. For music? I said, the same.
So, wait, what did I say?
I don't know. Eddie Vedder.
I said, hey, let's get Eddie Vedder.
I said, I think he's dead.
Obviously being sarcastic. My wife, because he would not, what are the chances? He's like, oh yeah, I'd love to do that for you. Anyway, my wife says,
I'm wrong.
She says, isn't he dead?
Right.
I go, Eddie Vedder from Soundgarden.
Nice.
From Pearl Jam, from like Temple of the Dog.
I know who you're talking about.
She's like, yeah, didn't he die? Not from Soundgarden.
By the way, I think these things all the time, so if he does die, apologies to his family.
So, listen, hey, Eddie, I know you're out there, and you're doing your thing and doing it well. I appreciate you, man.
Okay. You know what? This is going to be an awkward podcast if in the morning we wake up and he died.
Okay, well, okay. I mean, that would be cool because we could,
Are you ready for your spooky tale?
Yes, okay. Let's go.
So, tonight's tale, an amateur pilot named Frederick Valentich. Have you heard of him?
What's his name?
Frederick Valentich.
Of course not.
Okay. He was an Australian pilot who disappeared while on a 125-mile nautical mile training flight.
Nautical.
Yes.
What did you say?
I think I said that. In a light aircraft. Okay. So he disappeared Saturday, 21st, October 1978. So not old, right?
The story?
The story's not old.
It's as old as me. It's old.
Well, I'm not talking, we're not going back to like World War II.
No.
Okay.
By the way, every time I think about, oh my goodness, Australia.
Yeah.
Only one thing, two things
come to mind. I'm sure you're going to say Crocodile Dundee.
Yes. So and cliche. What's the other one? You know.
Oh, the Crocodile Hunter?
Yes.
I hate both.
One of the, I'm interrupting, but
yes, you
one
are. Of At least the... he's not going to do an Australian accent.
Oh, good day, mate.
Oh, my. That's so bad. It's so bad.
That's horrendous.
Okay. So we're going to talk about him. And from this point on, we're going to call him Fred.
Okay.
So Fred was a 20-year-old Australian pilot. He'd been flying for over 2 years. But you're going to find out as we go through this. Fred wasn't the best pilot. But he had, at the time of his disappearance, accumulated over 150 hours of solo flight time.
It's like you're getting behind the wheel.
Yeah. He hired a plane from Southern Air Services in Australia. He goes in this area, which is known as the Australian version of the Bermuda Triangle. That's important. Okay?
Yeah.
From a little child, he had dreams of one day becoming a commercial pilot. But Fred wasn't the best at pilot. In fact, he was a terrible pilot, as all accounts have corroborated.
It sounds like Harrison Ford.
Yeah, well, that was part of my... I think I wrote that in. Like,
did
make
you?
A Harrison Ford joke. Oh, the only person who's worse. Yes.
Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. God bless Indiana Jones.
Oh, my gosh. And as I was researching this, I just realized there's not much difference between a regular person and a pilot besides a plane and a hat. I'm not kidding. So this guy, he grew up, he wanted to be a pilot. He wanted desperately to join the Air Force, Australian's version of the Air Force.
Yeah, but
was rejected.
Those guys are real pilots.
Okay, well, he was rejected, but he did go to flight school. However, he failed literally every course. In fact, there's one document that says he failed all his course subjects twice in 1 month, all five.
Like the bookwork you're talking?
Both.
He didn't even pass the bookwork?
Correct. But also, they still gave him a pilot's license. So apparently, that can happen. Makes me very comfortable. In fact, Fred had a knack of beelining it for clouds, and he got in trouble quite often because he was going through clouds, and it's quite dangerous because they didn't, these small planes don't have radar, okay, and you could run into another plane. And in fact, at one point, he was, they were going to prosecute him for, I don't know what that's called,
like
dangerous
negligence
flight.
Or something.
Yes, yeah. Because they thought he was such a negligent
reckless
pilot.
Yeah, reckless aviation.
Yes,
that's what they call that.
But on this particular day, he took off from an airport near Melbourne, and in this 182 light aircraft, that's what it's called, he planned to fly west for 40 minutes along the Australian coast. Now, there are some debate why he was going in this general direction. We'll talk about it in a second.
Okay.
He was heading towards Cape Atway. And then he would head south over the Bass Strait toward King Island. It was a route that he had flown many times before. However, this was a night flight. And he had just the week before been certified to do night trips alone or solo.
Yeah.
And people reported when he was boarding his plane or getting ready that he appeared very, very nervous.
Sure.
Probably.
To be expected.
Couple reasons. Because A.
Don't tell me he had night blindness.
No, that would be great, though. Oh. No, I think that's the only thing Fred didn't have. No, but he probably hadn't had a lot of solo time in the dark.
Yeah, no, it's understandable. He's inexperienced.
So he's nervous. But he's nervous for another reason, too. We'll talk about it.
Another reason?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What's he got in that plane?
Well, no. So that is the great debate. Is A, why is he flying there?
B, where's he going?
Well, why is he going that general direction? So he had told a group of people that he was going to pick up crawfish. Okay. Yeah. Apparently, it's a big deal. I think Australians crawfish, and don't quote me, write in if you need to, is the equivalent of our lobster.
Please write in.
Yes. But apparently, it's a big deal. However, people could not corroborate that. And they said you would have to pre-order it. So, okay.
All right.
So
whatever.
Next, he said he was going to pick up some very brave men. Again, no one knew who these brave men were.
It's the village people.
Maybe. I don't know. And nobody was waiting for him, so we have no idea. But the bottom line is we don't know. All right? But there is a little secret that Frederick had that he did not share. Well, we didn't find out until afterwards, perhaps.
Is he a cross-dresser?
No. No, okay. That's very insensitive.
I'm just asking.
No.
Well, you said it was a secret that he's hiding.
Well, not a secret, but something that was revealed. He and his father had a lot of occasions in which they would see UFOs.
Insensitive. Are you kidding me? She tells, you know, jokes all the time. All of a sudden, I'm insensitive.
You are insensitive. So, he was known to have seen UFOs. From some people say a small child, so did his father.
Okay.
On this particular spooky night of his disappearance, we do have transcripts of kind of what transpired because of a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information request, Australia's equivalent of that. And there's like 300 or so pages of documents if you want to read through. There's also audio you can find.
Okay.
Of the last flight, Fred's last flight.
Sure.
Okay.
Like the box or whatever with all the audio.
Right. Okay. So let me tell you how it kind of breaks down. 6:19, he leaves, takes off from the airport.
P.M.
Correct. Remember, it's a night flight.
Right.
Right. He goes over towards Cape Otway. He sees what he thinks is a UFO flying nearby in the vicinity. Upon seeing that, he has radio contact with Melbourne Air Services for several minutes. He describes it as darting, swerving around him. It appeared to be green and long-shaped. He stated that he believed it was traveling at speeds faster than he could ever see. And that he was, the craft was playing a game with him, chasing him, playing some sort of game. That's what he said. All above his plane.
Sure.
All of a sudden, it disappears. A few seconds later, the object returns from the southwest. Suddenly, Frederick's engines start malfunctioning. He finally states, and there's transcripts from this. So it's like, it's hovering and it's not an aircraft, is his final words. Those were the last words. And in addition to that, so he says, Melbourne, the transcripts go, Melbourne Air Services, and he then says, I'm being chased by something. Is there any aircraft
flying? Send backup, please.
No, he doesn't say send backup. He's a commercial air pilot. But he says, or an amateur air pilot.
I don't
he know. Says, is there any aircraft in the vicinity? And Melbourne says no. And so they have this conversation. His last correspondence is,
send help.
The aircraft is right above him. And he says, it's not an aircraft. Then the mic is open. It's hovering and it's on an aircraft. And then you hear what can only be described as metallic screaming and clicking noises.
Oh, it's toenails.
Now, no. Some people say they hear screaming over it, like he was screaming. So, but it's metallic and like...
click, 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 click. No, no, it's
no,
the,
like
it's the steel
aliens.
Yeah, yeah, with their steel talons coming down, getting in the plane.
Okay, not even on the realm of
you don't know.
I guess you I don't know that, but that's not under the... We're not
well,
even...
That's what I
that's
imagined.
That's not impossible.
That's what I imagined it.
Then he heard no more noises from him or his plane that Melbourne didn't. He was never seen or heard from again. An intensive water search began for Frederick and his plane. However, no chance was ever found. Later, a witness who asked to remain anonymous came forward. He claimed that he was traveling with his family when he noticed unusual activity in the sky. He saw a lime green light flying about 100 feet above a small aircraft. Both flew closer to each other before disappearing from his view. Then, 6 weeks after his disappearance, this amateur photographer, Roy Manifold, comes forward. And he claims that on that evening, he had a camera set up on Camp Otway, planning to take pictures of the sunset. In the last one, and we'll post this, there was a black spot in the upper right-hand corner. At first, he believed that it was a developing error. However, he had it examined, found no dirt or damage on the negative. The strange mark was determined to be in the photograph. And American photo analysts have determined that it was a metallic object, apparently in a cloud of exhaust. It was apparently a mile from the camera. The Kodak lab studied the negative and reported no problem with any kind of development of the negative. To this date, Frederick's disappearance has never been adequately explained. The object that he apparently sighted has never been identified. However, with the resurgence of disclosure, what does this sound like to you?
an abduction of some kind?
Well, yes, but it sounds like the Tic Tac videos that were released by the Pentagon.
The Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pentagon and all of the... those.
Did you just say Tic Tac?
Tic Tac. That's what
they
call
it. That's what it's called?
Yeah. Because they're, that's what they've named them because they dart very quickly. Sometimes they're lime green. Sometimes they're long. Sometimes they're shaped of triangles. Yes. So one theory is that Fred was abducted by the object he encountered. Another theory, he was attacked by or became disoriented after seeing it and crashed into the sea. I think this theory might hold water for me because remember, Fred's not a great pilot, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to find out he has this fear of UFOs anyway. So did he freak out? I mean, I think a great pilot would freak out.
Could he be like predisposed? Or
yes.
That's the wrong word to use maybe. But just could he be looking for UFOs since it's such was a...
He was scared. Yes. So I think you find what you're looking for, right? Or what you're scared of?
Maybe, perhaps it was a UFO, perhaps not.
Well, there's a couple other...
Military technology?
Maybe.
I don't know.
There's some other theories, too. Frederick has since been declared legally dead. There's no trace of his plane has ever been found.
I hope he's alive, just for his sake.
Until 1983, when this engine cowl flap from the same type of plane that he flew, washed ashore over 300 kilometers from his last known position. It had a partial serial number on it, but it didn't match his plane exactly. Several people believe that that came from his plane, but it's not. They can't confirm that. There was an issue with his plane was never painted, and this one was, so we don't know. And yeah, like I said, this was
Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah. This is Australia's Bermuda Triangle. So
junkyard of like aviation.
Yes, and so yeah, to say it was his plane is probably not
graveyard.
True. Right. Some have speculated that Frederick became disoriented after seeing a bright planet, like the stars or a meteor shower in the sky. Remember, it's pitch black out there.
Yeah.
Another theory is that he became inverted mid-flight and saw the reflection off the water.
That would be the best.
However, that really doesn't stand up because I did a little research, and these planes, their exhaust system and their gasoline system is gravity sensitive. So it would sputter out quickly if he was upside down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And but he was that bad of a pilot, people thought maybe that happened.
Come on, Fred, man. Mm-hmm.
So his dad, Guido, all right?
That's his dad's name?
Dad's name is Guido. Yes, his dad kept his...
Mario Brothers or something? That's what it sounds like.
The Guido. His dad passed away in 2000. He kept Fred's memory alive. He very much wanted this to be some sort of UFO because the alternative is your son crashed and died. Right?
Yeah.
But he told the public that his son was an ardent believer in UFOs, and he often worried about being attacked by one. It also came out that he applied twice for the Royal Australian Air Force and was rejected both times for inadequate educational experience.
Why do they have to embarrass him like that after he's already presumed dead?
Because I think he was so terrible. He also was studying to be a commercial pilot, but he failed his examinations twice. He'd also received several warnings after flying once into a restricted zone in Sydney and twice into clouds. Apparently you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A group in Phoenix, Arizona also believes that a UFO abduction is likely an explanation. The Ground Saucer Watch claims to have photos taken by a plumber that show a fast moving object moving through the water near the scene of the disappearance. However, the photos have proven to be too blurry to clearly identify the object.
So this is in Phoenix, Arizona.
That's where the group
is. This group is located, mm-hmm. and they say that they have photos taken by a plumber.
Correct. Yes. Like, just like a random person. Yeah. Yep.
Was he working at the time?
I don't know.
Or just like happens to be a plumber.
Yeah,
they could just call him a passerby. You know, identify him by his vocation.
To make it, he's a common man, like a common person. Like nobody in the military field, nobody in the scientific field, just a plumber.
There's probably military plumbers out there.
Okay. Well, then I think that we would say in the military field.
Yeah.
This is stupid. All right. The case remains a topic of conversation. That's why I chose this tonight, because there is no new information. However, now with disclosure, people are talking about how his sightings, his description, match what we now are trickling out of some of our, of the Pentagon papers. so, yeah.
So, that's it. I mean, there's no idea as to where he just disappeared and he's presumed to be dead.
Correct. Correct. But I think it's one of those cases where it's interesting. Because you don't hear very much about him. You know, we hear about Amelia Earhart, and we beat that one to death, don't we?
Well, come on. You're comparing Amelia Earhart and this guy.
Well, I'm going to say something really unpopular. She was a terrible pilot and not the first woman to do anything. So...
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Not the first woman to do anything?
Anything. No, there are all of these misconceptions that Amelia Earhart was the first woman to do this, the first woman. She had a good publicist, and they picked her because she, you know, looked pretty, I think, standing next to a plane. But there was African-American pilot that was a woman, and she did things before Amelia Earhart. There's lots of people. You know, history remembers people, you know, specifically and differently. But I don't think she was a great pilot either.
Okay.
So apparently,
listen,
there's hope. If you don't have a trade, children, and you're thinking, hey, what can I do? Go be a pilot, because apparently you can fail a lot, and we'll give you a hat and let you fly our planes. I'm not sure. Well, Australia would. Oh, no. the whole country will hate me.
Well, first of all, like, you have to have decent vision, I would think. You can't have bad vision.
Well, I didn't say that Frederick did or did not have good vision. I'm going to assume his vision was okay.
My vision is not, so that's just not going to happen.
I don't think you even like heights.
No, I don't, so there's no way.
One theory was that the last entry of his correspondence, when he says it's not an aircraft. I think that's what he says. It's not an aircraft. Some people will assert that perhaps he noticed the reflection of his instrument panel off the water or something and realized that he was just messing up this whole thing and that maybe he shouldn't be freaking out about what he can't see and start taking control of the plane, and that that's why he crashed. It's probably somewhere both. I don't know. Or he got abducted by UFOs.
I don't know.
Interesting. Probably it is not. Fascinating.
Probably not.
And if you have a moment, see if you can find the audio of the last sound from the transcript that is this metallic screaming, because it's ungodly.
That will be the claws.
I think it's the sputtering of the engine, maybe. Maybe not. Or I don't know. Or the claws. Probably not the claws.
Yeah, it is.
So that's the story. That's the story of our amateur pilot, Frederick. I like him.
Man, that's pretty sad for him.
I guess so. Is it sad or is it...
I mean, I feel, it's a little of both, but he's gone for, whether he's up in space, he's on Mars or he's, he's under the sea.
I guess.
Whatever the case, not so good for him.
Mm-hmm. So that's our spooky story of Frederick Valentis. We'll be back next week for even spookier story. I have some really great ones in mind. For our season, because this is kind of the kickoff of our new season.
I have a spooky story for all you ladies out there.
Oh, boy. All right. So this one's called, the headline reads, which I don't think I have to say anything more but the headline.
It's fantastic.
Uh-huh. Cops say men broke into model's home, filmed her as she slept. So that's great. And there's a terrible picture of somebody who looks... kind of just deranged and maybe like he eats hair. I'm not really sure.
He has a mother somewhere. God forbid.
Ugh. A man obsessed with a model he had contacted on OnlyFans adult website. So there's my... I was going to check that out. You can't. Appears to have spent significant amount of time hiding in her attic, investigators say. A Pennsylvania man from right... I'm not going to say his name. But from right in our neck of the woods.
Yeah. By the way... the scariest part of all this is he had to wait all that time just to see her. I can't imagine.
Ba-dum-bum.
No, I can't imagine.
He was arrested last month, thank you, after the woman reported seeing somebody standing in the hallway of her home she shares with her mother in New Hampshire. Jeez. Police say they heard footsteps from the attic. I would assume it's either a ghost or a rat. And then he admitted that he broke into her home multiple times. They say he told them he stole a key, had it copied at Home Depot, and returned it.
Yeah, no, he's this guy, man.
According to the affidavit, the woman said she found food, headfans, and a cup full of urine in the attic.
Well, I mean, you can't just...
I'm assuming it's his.
How long can you hold it?
She was... Oh.
Yeah, yes. I mean, isn't this... This is a good one.
Like, he
isn't
played
it?
The long game, though. Yeah, apparently, it's been going on for quite some time. And he followed her across a state or so.
I want to know.
Persistence.
When she found him, was he wearing pants?
I don't know. And no, I mean, it's terrible. That is a terrifying experience to feel unsafe in your home. No, I hate that. That's awful. I mean, I'm assuming she didn't have a dog. Or a cat. Do you think the cat would stare at the attic the whole time? I think our cat would.
Oh, yes.
By the way, we have a new cat. Oh, we should talk about our cat. Because if you remember, you've listened to us, we have two dogs, Charlie and Moose. And we love them more than our own kids. Don't hate us. And then we added to our crew this little white cat, little ugly face, squish face cat named Thackeray Binks. And everyone will know the reference. And he is mostly a dog and just a perfect fit for us. And we love him to death. And we might have to post a picture of
Zachary. Oh, yeah. We absolutely should. He loves me, by the way.
He does love Jason. And much to our daughter's chagrin, because that was supposed to be her cat, her familiar, her best friend. And the cat loves Jason. So
she hates it. It's fantastic.
And you can't always choose what your pet's attached to or not. And that cat, for whatever reason, animals gravitate towards Jason. It's the beard.
Tell him why. No, tell him what you really think.
Because the cat senses that you're a special needs person. Maybe I said that. Maybe I said the cat senses weakness. And
it's not true at all. None of those things are true.
And feels sorry for him. I don't know. I also said maybe that you were going to die and the cat was like loving up on you. That's funny.
It's been a while now since we've had him.
Yes, he's beloved. So that's it for us. This is the couple that scares together. If you have a story to share, because we love to hear listener stories, please go to our website. It's thecouplethatscarestogether.com. There still is one that exists. You can also follow us on Instagram at thecouplethatscarestogether. Message us. There's an email link on our website. You can find all our old episodes and a description about who we are. But also there's a form if you want to tell us either anonymously or not about your own personal story, or you want to recommend a topic for us, we would love that too.
Tell us your story, leave your number. That's the way to go. I will contact you directly and we'll get your story.
It'll be fantastic.
No, I would absolutely do it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. We're happy to be back and have a great week, guys.
See you.
Bye.